Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Ready to come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, and this is episode 200. Man, my name is Chew Drink. I have the absolute honor of hosting tonight's awesome show, and I couldn't be happier for these three gentlemen on getting to episode 200. Not that there was any doubt from me, by the way. But we got a lot to get into this show, so I'm not going to try to take a whole lot of time away and say something like the addition of Dave Wright brought something I didn't know this show was even missing, or the fact that I can't even think of the feverish Fanero anytime I hear the phrase in a vacuum and then not internally scream, nothing's in a vacuum. That's my best Michael Fanero voice. So I'll try to get better. Or even my dude Swags, who has grown in ways I always knew he could get to, but doesn't make it any less special to watch him continue to crush it. I don't want to take any more time away, so let's get into these folks and get into some Rookie Fever 200.
First of all, no. Thanks a ton for being here. I'm super excited about that. I'm super excited about episode 200, but Two Drink just gave you three things that you could go put into wherever you're listening right now and give a five-star review. Like, easy peasy. Type that shit in. Five-star review. You heard him. Rewind it. Three nice things he just said. That's your five-star review to us. Okay?
Just sign my name and then your name too. Appreciate it.
I wonder if anybody like oddly doesn't know you though. Like, it's weird because like, are we supposed to introduce you or, as you're introducing us? Like, am I supposed to not be talking now? Like, I don't know what to do. Why are my hands up?
That's Swagzilla Zero G. You know him. We got to him. Let's get to Feverish Fanero. Let's hear from him for a minute.
I'm totally excited about having you host tonight, Two Drink. It is an honor for us as well. You are a longtime friend, and I'm just hoping that we can make it all the way through without baby spaceman being born.
Speaking of, let's go to @FF_spaceman.
Guys, it's episode 200. I am pumped. This is the first time I get to meet the Two Drink in person, in group chats, in conversations with these gentlemen. There's a legend of Two Drink coming. I'm excited to experience it firsthand on episode 200, baby. Let's go, Rookie Fever.
All right. So without further ado, I think we're going to get into it. We have some very memorable clips to sprinkle in throughout the entire show that we've got from the last 200 episodes. So without further ado, here we go. This soundbite is from the 2019 NFL season, way back at Rookie Fever episode 58, titled Welcome to Hollywood, where we get to meet the incredible Hawk.
Oh, you'd hear Detroit doesn't throw this. Matt Stafford doesn't do
all
this.
All of that, too.
At what happened with Eric Ebron.
Yes. I mean, it's fantastic. I'm actually in a league. I'm starting
Hawk Smash.
I love it. We got to do that. We have to come up with some sort of sounder for that. I love that.
The incredible Hawkinson. Hawk Smash.
Smash!
The beauty. Love that.
58. Wow. That seems like yesterday, but that's quite a while back.
It's crazy. The craziest thing about tonight so far for me is that we made it all the way to 200, and I learned that Michael Fanero is a freaking liar, because the truth is, we're hoping you have your baby while we're recording tonight.
That would be epic.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Well, like, I'm keeping an ear out. Nothing so far. I mean, I thought the Hawk Smash might bring it coming in, but nope, nothing.
That's pretty aggressive. And is that, it's hard to go back now, but I feel like when I'm listening to that, is that after week one where he just went off?
Yep.
Like, very, okay.
Yeah.
I think I remember texting Swags like right when Hawk caught that, because I want to say maybe he wasn't even watching that. Like, maybe you were traveling or you were up north or something like that. And I think
that's probably working. Yeah.
Yeah, and me and Finero both texted you at like the same time, like right after that happened. Like we told you Hawk touchdown before you even saw it or something like that. So that's a 58, man. Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, that sounds incredibly accurate, T-Drink. I think you're right.
Yeah, I don't know how I pulled that out of the back of my head because I don't remember much else, but that one's there.
Damn.
All right, so we do have a couple of actual segments.
32% roster ship.
What is that?
32% roster ship.
For Hawk?
For Hawk, yeah. 8 shares.
You might be getting a little ahead of yourself. Don't jump the gun, buddy. We'll get there. Chief, and look, you didn't look. So segment one, where we get to hear from these three guys, is our rookie review. Each one of these guys is going to show us their most owned players from the last 4 classes. Do these guys practice what they actually preach on Rookie Fever? I'm venturing to guess they do. But I want Spaceman to start just in case those contractions come. We got to get him out early.
That's a really good point. He's first every time.
Right?
Yeah.
No. I like to keep me on my toes here, keep me focused. So I will say for 2018, I will go first. My most highly owned players at 60%, a tie between DJ Moore, obviously, and Christian Kirk. Mm. So those are my 2 highest owned from 2018.
You said
182 ain't bad.
Both are 60%?
60% for both of them, yep.
Wow, that's a pretty high number.
So I'm only in 6-7 leagues. I'm not even sure about how I get to 60%. Maybe it's 5 leagues that are officially Dynasty leagues. So I'm not in a ton, but yeah, 60%.
I was told there'd be no math tonight.
That's why we have Spaceman here to drink. We just give it all to him.
Right. All right, Finero. I guess you're going to hit us with the 18.
Yeah, you're going to do the other year, Spaceman, or you're just sticking on 18? We're going to rotate? 18. All right, let's stay on 18. Around. We'll stay on 18. I like it. All right. So
less confusing, maybe.
My 2018 most rostered player is Nicholas Chubb at 40%.
Dang. That's pretty nice.
Yeah. I would say half of those shares were traded for, but Nicholas Chubb.
Gotta love the Chubba Chubba Choo Choo, right?
Yeah. After Nicholas Chubb, it's like a 3-way tie. Alan Lazard, which I'm guessing wasn't drafted, DJ Chark. And Ian Thomas over there in the tight end garden, withering.
I can see why you didn't want to mention those three, but that's not bad.
I know, right? I know.
He's like, I got Chubb and somebody else go now.
And that's just it. He says, I know, but then I look at like my top ones and I'm like, ugh. Like, but my top one is Josh Allen, and that's at 48% with 12 shares. After that, it's Josh Rosen, Darius Geis, Kyle Allen, and then we're getting into Mike Gesicki at 24%. Then Nick Chubb, 24% too. Cortland Sutton, DJ Shark, Sam Darnold, Goddard. There's some gems in there. Just, you know, Rosen, though, like a lot of those got to that cheap point where like people were even dropping them and you're just I'll pick them up off waivers. So...
Honestly, I think that's why I think it's why Geis isn't on my list is because he's been dropped. Like, but he was probably at one point highly owned. Yep.
Rosen comes back to one of the things I've learned on Rookie Fever from Katie Flowers, and where what one or two of those first round rookie quarterbacks, even in your fantasy league, aren't going to hit in a few years, right? And like we always wanted him to kind of be a thing, and some people even had him as quarterback one that year. Cough, Mark Schofield. But just kidding, love you, Mark. But I mean, that right? That was just one of those things that happens. Yeah. Yep. Swags, I wonder with Josh Allen. I know you were a big component of him, you know, drafting just because he was going so late and people didn't want to draft him in rookie leagues. But I wonder, out of that large share you have of him, how many you actually drafted and how many you traded for. I know it's not part of the drill here, so I'm sure you don't have those numbers, but I know you were all over him, you know, first round or even, I mean, early second round in a lot of super flex leagues. And man, look how that worked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and the thing with Josh Allen is even within a draft, you were able to get him a couple years in a row at a reasonable price, even through your rookie draft and then through startups and both his rookie season and his sophomore year. And then the price didn't start to go up even that much until after he started to do it with Diggs this last year. So I think a lot of them probably were from drafts, but I think that there were some trades too, some lucrative deals that people just kind of thought Josh Allen was meh.
Right.
So
Spaceman, I know your two were DJ Moore and Christian Kirk. Obviously those guys kind of go in two different directions right now, but What has to happen in Arizona for Christian Kirk to do anything? Or does AJ Green plus another rookie, like, is there enough targets for him to see anything without probably at least two injuries?
Yeah, Christian Kirk, things are looking a little rough for Christian Kirk at the moment with Rondale Moore and AJ Green coming in. But the thing is that can at least helps me sleep at night is that the fact that it is such a high volume offense, right. and they don't throw a lot to the tight end. It's very centric towards their wide receivers. They run four wide receiver routes most in the league, I believe. So there's still going to be something to go around. But then hopefully the deal is maybe Christian Kirk signs somewhere else next year, because I think two of those were in recent startup drafts that I got him late. So, okay. And I actually have traded him away recently. And actually when Nick Chubb, the same time for Finero, I was at 80% for Nick Chubb until I traded away two Nick Chubbs in the last 3 months. So,
gotcha.
So I love me some Nick Chubb as well.
Fair enough. All right. Why don't we hit those 2019 most owned rookies?
How many shares of Barkley do you guys have?
Zero.
Wow. I have one between all of us. What about you two, Drink? Do you have any Barkley?
I'm safe. If you're going to ask me, I'll make it one so we can split it now. But yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah. Right. I just didn't have, didn't have that first round. Couldn't get that capital when it was going on.
And then was never willing to pay for it in any trade, even once injury. That's oof. I mean, you gave up McCaffrey and something to get him recently, I heard, right, Swag?
McCaffrey and Mooney. You're in that league.
Yeah. I don't pay attention to trades that don't involve me usually.
That was in Cool Kids. So I won it without McCaffrey, and I lost Dak in the year. Just a crazy season, and now I've already lost Amari Cooper and Barkley, but I think they'll be back. But yeah, so I traded McCaffrey and Darnell Mooney for Barkley.
I won it without McCaffrey and Dak got hurt. Humble brag. Let's get off that team. Spaceman, give me your 2019.
Well, this one isn't going to start out very well. So 80% rostership for N'Keal Harry. In one of those leagues where I have N'Keal Harry, I just traded for him. But that was I've either traded for him or traded him away, I believe, a total of 10 times. So it's been a love-hate with N'Keal Harry. I did not originally draft him and this is my main long-running home league. The tail two rivals center league. So N'Keal Harry at 80%. I was kind of hoping for a third year thing. I was not expecting for all the drama to happen here pre-camp about him requesting a trade, not getting traded. So that's been a little bit of a disappointment.
He looks good in camp.
Yeah.
He looks good.
I still think he's a good player. I think the days of him being worth the wide receiver one price in dynasty rookie drafts is gone, though. That's what I'll say. But I still think he can be a productive player. But then coming in at 60%, I have AJ Brown and Miles Gaskin. So those are two other players that I have very high as well from that 2019 class.
Feverish. Well, hit me with 2019, buddy.
If you think Alan Lazard and Ian Thomas was was bad, we have leading the pack of 2019 rookies is Scotty Miller. Scotty Miller at 40% ownership, saved by Terry McLaurin just under that at 38%. And sprinkle in at 30% a little Drew Sample. I have Drew Sample probably on too many rosters, but he's sitting over there in the garden as well. But love everywhere I own Terry. Scotty Miller, that's very clearly something that I saw midseason develop. And as I saw Tampa Bay and Tom Brady going to him long. And so I think he's just like, roster clogger. But that's my 2019. Not thrilling.
Yeah, we don't need to spend much time on that. We're going to go to Swags.
mine aren't quite as inspiring either anymore, though. So, I mean, my highest is Gardner Minshew out of this class at 48%, followed by, tied with Caden Smith. Smith and then David Montgomery. I have 11 shares of David Montgomery, 9 shares of Josh Jacobs, 8 shares of DK Metcalf and Hockenson, though.
Nice.
You're not getting that.
And
nice.
7 of McLaurin. So, Patriots Dave for a moment. I traded away N'Keal Harry and Traquan Smith for Amon-Ra St. Brown yesterday.
There you go. That jugs machine video got to you. The Amon-Ra jugs video.
You know, I just think I'm fine getting out of Traquan. You know, you look at what he did even without Michael Thomas last year. Same two quarterbacks fighting for the job this year. I think he's getting enough hype to where it's, I mean, I don't know, man. When if I find a window to move on from somebody that I've been stuck with for a few years to move on to somebody else that I'm excited about, get some fresh meat. You like that, Two Drink?
Two Drink, like it, buddy.
Fresh meat.
Throwing article. It back. They don't know.
Yep. And so I was just kind of bringing that fresh meat, man, see what's going to happen. I'm much more excited about that, even as the homer play. I have so much N'Keal Harry. Not like you, Dave, but I mean, I'm still at 5 shares after trading that one away. So
I know you don't play the game this way, but
me
with Michael Thomas. Yeah, you don't ever play the game correctly, or at least my way, I guess. but Traquan Smith for a minute, do you think you're giving up some value? That's the weird, right? That's the part of the game you don't play. But do you think you're giving up some value in Traquan Smith coming up with all the hype of Michael Thomas not being there and people, I mean, somebody's going to have to step up, right? I know he's the one that's been there. Not that he's had a lot of chemistry with Taysom Hill, if he's the guy, or none with Jameis. And Traquan hasn't done a whole lot, but he's kind of the veteran wide receiver there that some people are looking to. Are you going to miss the spike in week one or two, or you don't care enough, right? Like, you want your guy. I get that. But are you giving a little bit of value up in Traquan early?
I mean, you guys would probably be surprised. I'll show you this team after the show, but I mean, I'll get to your question. I have Justin
Jefferson. See, he doesn't play right.
Metcalf, Terry McLaurin. But anyway, I don't feel like I'm giving up that value. I feel like, if anything, I have more of a risk of losing that value. I feel like there's enough in the air right now to where I'm fine, like the baked price off assumptions before we get there and see failure, because I think it was boosted just enough to where I could make this trade happen with a good day of N'Keal Harry camp and okay. Michael Thomas being out with an injury. And it just kind of like was like, man, these two players I'm stuck with suddenly have this like value in the same week. And this guy has a player I want, you know, so I just kind of tried it. And it was accepted so quick that, like, to your point, maybe, right. You know what I mean? Like, it right. was accepted super quick. So maybe I even could have had a third thrown in, or but I felt like that window was just kind of open for me. And
you wanted your guy.
Yeah, I wanted my guy, and I wanted the out there on those other two players.
I mean, I think I would make that deal the other way, even if Harry or Traquan never started, you know, even week one on my team, just because I think maybe I could flip them for even more. But, I mean, I respect you always going to get your guy. I mean, that's what we tell people to do anyways. If you're playing, it's got to be fun.
I still want to keep a little Harry.
Well, I mean, you got some on your face. You're good. spoiler alert, I'm going to take a question from later, but since you brought it up, Amon-Ra St. Brown finishes as Lions pass catcher what this year?
Pass catcher.
Yeah, because I'm going to give you out there with Hawk and even Swift if you want to. But like in the pecking order of receptions, Amon-Ra St. Brown is third behind the two guys I mentioned.
Yeah, Swift and Hawk.
See, I made it too easy because I gave you the names, but not like you weren't going to come up with them. Fair enough. Yep, I don't mind that.
Wide receiver one for as far as targets go. Targets.
Well, I said receptions. You, again, play by your rules. It's cool. Receptions. Nope, too late. You answer. It's the same.
No, I like there's, receptions.
He's there's a lot vacated there in Detroit, right? Right, Dave?
Right, Dave.
Am I lagging? I just triggered. Oh, my God.
Just wait for later, buddy. All right, so 2020, right? 2020 rookies now. I think we get a little more spicy. I think Dave was around for all of 2020 season, I believe, right? For rookie fever?
I came in towards the end, I believe.
Towards the end, okay.
So, but I
know you are very hot on some players here, so I'm interested to see where your loyalty lies.
Yeah, I saw that I only had T. Higgins in one league, so I actually went and tried to make a bunch of offers after I went through this, but to no avail. But no, but yeah, at 40%, tied for 40%, I have DeAndre Swift and Laviska Shenault. One of those deals, I did not draft DeAndre Swift in either of those leagues. I traded for both of them. I think I traded Joe Mixon and a first for DeAndre Swift in the league I'm in with Swags, and then I traded Dalvin Cook for DeAndre Swift and OBJ season before. Obviously, and then like we've talked about this in the show, but literally within 24 hours, Swift was hurt. So that's how that trade went for me. But
fair,
Fever it's Roche. Interesting you say that though, Dave, because that's I happened to like come across a couple of those things where I'm like, oh my gosh, I thought I had more than one share of DJ Moore. Like it just felt like more from like some best ball drafts because we only did our dynasty leagues for this.
Yeah.
So when a couple of players where I was looking at, I was like, man, I have to go make an effort to get more DJ Moore and some other guys like that. I was kind of surprised at some of the guys that I had very little of.
Yeah, shout out real quick to dynastyplanet.com. All three of us use that site. It's a great way to compile your roster ship all into one place. You can even, which Swags found out just the other day, you can even sort by year. Oh, today, yeah, you can sort by year. So if you're just looking for 2020 players, 2019 players, 2018 players, which is why we were so easily able to separate this up. In my 2020 roster ship, 40% leads my crew with Adam Trautman. That was no surprise. Every single one of those shares were drafted shares. I think Adam Trautman was fairly cheap. People were all off of the tight end class, including Kmet. This is the year we hope to see Trautman. We just got done talking about the New Orleans offense and who the hell are they going to throw to. I think there's an opportunity there. That's certainly what you want at tight end. Right below, at the same ownership, again, no surprise, to talk about him all the time, hoping that he definitely shows us something this year, Bryan Edwards. That should be no surprise to anybody who listens to Rookie Fever. Bryan Edwards and Adam Trautman are my two top owns. Right behind them at 30% is J.K. Dobbins and Jalen Reagor.
Nice.
Fever's got some miracle grow in that garden of his on Trautman. sprouting out the corner.
I've been tending to that one for a while. I hope that sprouts because it's something I own a lot of and in tight end premium in particular. My expectations aren't high like for this year. He's still a young tight end, but what I'm hoping for is to see that opportunity and then build off of that next year.
Okay, because it seems like there are some people out there that are looking for that to kind of take off this year. So maybe not in your eyes, but if it doesn't happen or we don't see that spike, is to you maybe not, but so for you, that might be an opportunity for you to still go buy if people are feeling down on it and like it's maybe don't see it, where others are going to be looking like, F, this just isn't going to work. And we're still just talking about year two, right? That garden's usually a little bit longer than that, but all right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've looked at that ownership and I thought, because I've done that with other players where I'm kind of like questioning myself, like Ian Thomas, like there comes a time where the value just isn't there anymore and you can't, you know, it's stuck in your garden, you know, it's a weed and there's nothing you can do about it. Adam Trautman, obviously this is his second year. So just looking for the opportunity this year to see if I'm right or I'm wrong. I'm going to have to do something early, like you said, and whether that's buy or sell, it's up to Adam Trautman. I can't control that. I rolled my dice. I have a lot of them and I have to see what I get.
Who is more important to the Saints, Tre'Quan Smith or Adam Trautman?
I don't know. They're very, very similar to me. I mean, they're both relatively unproven talents that are going to have to catch the ball in an offense with, you know, a lot of problems right now. I think, you know, Drew Brees moving on is going to be a big deal that they're going to have to adjust to, much like New England had to adjust with Tom Brady leaving. I don't think I think anyone that thinks differently that they're going to struggle this year is just lying to themselves. And I think that's part of why, you know, I'm not going to blame Adam Trautman for everything that happens there. I just need to see what I need to see. And that's probably less than others need to see to decide on whether I'm going to hold or I'm going to move. But I don't think it's going to be pretty there. I think Alvin Kamara still gets his. Marquise Callaway is a name that I think people aren't mentioning enough. I think that he flashed just enough last year to be interesting to me. He's small, though, so I don't love that part. But Tre'Quan Smith is one of those guys where I own a decent amount of him, too. So we'll have to see what happens there. I don't blame you, Swags, for trying to get out of Tre'Quan Smith when you can.
No, yeah, I hear you.
All right, Swags, hit me with your 2020 rookies.
Dude, this is a really fun class for me. Just when not because of all the players, but because of honestly, the top of my list is DeAndre Swift. And then after that, it's Justin Herbert. And I shit you not, then after that, it's Jonathan Taylor with 9 shares. Then it gets a little bit gross with Quentin Cephas, Hunter Bryant. Then we go to Bryan Edwards, James Robinson, Joshua Kelly, pretty gross. But then we go to Justin Jefferson with 5 shares and then 4 of J.K. Dobbins and Chenault, 4 to a, what a fun freaking class, man. That's all.
That's all.
Well, you were aggressively going after Jefferson, and I was just too late to that party. By the way, I just want to correct myself. Marquise Callaway is not a small wide receiver. Thank you guys for not jumping on me. He's 6'2". I wanted to double check that. As soon as the words came out of my mouth, I was like, I don't think Callaway's small. So it's just a name I wanted to bring up. He's a rookie last year, and I think, you know, we have no idea what's going to happen over there. So if he's available, like on waivers or whatnot, like I would snatch him up.
I really liked picking him up undrafted in a lot after rookie drafts after last season, because special place in my heart, and this is not much to do, but a little personal bio about Marquise Callaway, was he was the volunteer of the year for the Special Olympics. So he's quite involved in the Special Olympics, was close to my heart. So I really shout out to Marquise Callaway. So he always will have a spot on my rosters.
Very cool.
That's an interesting fact.
Picked him up super late in Scott Fishbowl. I need something to happen because
I have him there too. Oh,
nice. I waited.
I have him there too.
Wide receivers.
I have him there too.
Probably sounds better than Preston Williams right now.
Truth.
Yeah, a little bit. Truth.
Oh, my waist.
All right. So now we get to this year.
Hold on.
Nope.
Hold
just
on,
kidding.
No, we're here. I want. Can I try to guess your guys' most rostered player from this class?
Oh, yeah, sure. That sounds like fun.
Sounds okay, like we should have started with that. Just rewind the show.
Dave. Yours is.
I'm still gonna get it wrong.
Yours is Rondale Moore.
Incorrect. He's my second highest roster player.
Boom, Dave. Suck it.
All right, go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
Thanks a lot, Dave. I don't want to even play now.
You can go have that. Go have that baby now. I'm done with you.
Super fun not... game, Dave.
I thought this was going to be cool.
I have him 40%. I had to trade. I traded for him in a draft, a rookie draft, and then I gave up a lot to get hit. Oh, actually, it wasn't a lot. No, I gave up, I forget. I think I gave up 2 seconds and like Chase Edmonds to get him in another spot. And the leader we're in with Scott Connor, Swags. So that's, and that, but my highest rostered is a player that I was super high on. I did a rookie profile with Peter Howard on. And I just was still shocked that he fell as far as he did. But Name Tylan dropper. Wallace, Tylan Wallace. Well, a little throwback to the rookie profiles. It was a huge deal for the 2021 class for us. So yeah, Tylan Wallace, 60%. I didn't even realize I had this much. I mean, like I said, I'm not in a ton of these, but I did not realize I had this much exposure to him. I still think, you know, if Lamar Jackson is as good as I think he is, and if there is ever an uptick, you know, we're not really good at predicting from year to year how these offenses work. Say Greg Roman's can't acts out of this after this season, they bring something out, they try something different in Baltimore, and Tylan Wallace is the second best wide receiver in Baltimore all of a sudden. So or third best. So I think fourth round in rookie drafts, yeah, I'll go Tylan Wallace without a doubt.
And then after that, you went to Rondale Moore.
Yep, there we go. Rondale Moore at 40%. So okay. I wish I could have more, but everyone would, they were charging me a premium whenever I was trying to get him.
Who else is on your list? How much Jamar Chase?
Jamar Chase, only 20, it's only one of each. I don't have a huge, so my strategy last season, because I was all in on last year's class and last year's class was amazing. I traded most of my future draft capital to acquire 2020 players. So that's kind of, I paid the price a little bit with this year.
All right, Fornaro, you're up, buddy.
So 2021. Fornaro's highest owned.
Oh, I forgot we're playing here
for 2021.
Yep.
Toddler rules, dude, is Elijah Moore.
That is incorrect. So,
Jesus.
So
you
Elijah,
suck at this.
Not even your set. You guys suck.
Elijah Moore is my third highest rookie, and a lot of that was through recent trades. I was a little late to Elijah Moore from a draft perspective and wound up overpaying for him quite a bit in a couple different leagues to acquire him at 30% ownership, which I thought was actually a little low considering the work I've done recently. At 50% ownership is Jarrett Patterson. I own a shit ton of Jarrett Patterson, and I don't think that should come into a surprise either. Right below Jarrett Patterson at 40% is Devonta Smith. So they're my top three most owned, led by Jarrett Patterson.
Well, you got to get that Eagles homer love in there too somewhere, right?
Yeah, I do own a lot of Eagles. All those rumors of Deshaun Watson going to Philadelphia made all my shares get slightly erect.
So, whoa, that's a little far. Rager was one of your most owned from the last class, right?
Yeah. How does
this work between Rager and Smith now?
So I have Rager, both Rager and Smith in two different leagues, and Rager's is clearly a hold. You can't move him for anything. That's, for me, that's a value. I think I have to see him this year. If I want to move on, then I will. I definitely have more faith in the young rookie Devonta Smith. It's just, Rager, I think, and Dave can let me know, but I think the hit rate after that first year goes down fairly significantly. So I'm a little concerned about, his performance last year. You can blame it on a lot of things. I mean, the Eagles were god awful across the board everywhere you look, and a lot of it was that O-line. But it feels like every time you try to analyze a player, whether he's a rookie or a rookie rewind or anybody, Carson Wentz, like how he'll do that, we all blame that offensive line on the Eagles, and some of it's the players too. So I'm a little concerned about Rager. I certainly don't think, for example, in one case where I drafted Rager just before Justin Jefferson. It's very, very painful to own Rager right now.
And breaking news. Deshaun Watson just traded to the Eagles. You guys see that?
Did not see that.
It didn't really happen. But if that happens right now, Rager, you trade him right away? Because you just said hold.
I would trade him.
It didn't really happen, guys. Chill out.
Oh, my God.
You should have seen these guys' faces.
Everyone's jumping to their phones.
Wait, what?
I told you
before the show, I'd listen to anything you said.
Right, I know.
In the leagues where I owned both,
I'm on Burgundy.
In the leagues where I owned both wide receivers, which is just two leagues, I would try to move Rager. Yes,
you don't want to see it, right? And that hit rate on second year wide receivers or whatever you said before, right? I mean, he changed quarterbacks too during the middle, right? Like, I don't know how to look up the stats. I'm not good at it. Period. Let alone when a quarterback is changed halfway through a season, and then we get to a new offensive coach, or so much stuff has changed. I'm okay to give him a pass. I know that's not how stats work. That's why Dave's here, right? Mm-hmm. It's cool, Dave. Chill out, buddy. Yeah. I see you. Just itching.
No, so
you can always see when the mute comes off.
Yeah. The mute is off.
Get his breath in. Go ahead. Let me have it.
No. You didn't say anything that was incorrect at all. I'd say the thing that I don't look at it. I want year one or year two for those first round wide receivers. Now, what people forget is that there's a faction of the fantasy community who's dealing with very small sample sizes. And when they talk about they're overreacting to some small samples for these wide receiver busts, and they want to get out of any player who doesn't hit in year one. I'm not quite that way, but I understand that way of thinking. However, what I do look at is the target share. And the Keel Harry situation was he was under 10% target share in as a first round draft pick. That was not the case with Jalen Rager. I think he was a 15 or 16% target share. And that's the big difference. He was still active in the offense. They tried to get him the ball and just everything fell apart around him. So I don't blame Rager for that as much. So that's really the difference between hit rates for me is that target share in year one.
I haven't quite triggered him yet. We'll see if we get there. Swags. Hit me with your list, buddy.
Guess my number one owned rookie from this class.
Terrace Marshall.
No. I have him 12% of my leagues with 3 shares.
Oh, that was a bad guess then.
Anybody else?
You play Mac a lot. Jones. You play a lot of super flex. How about Wilson?
Yes, Zach Wilson. 8 shares of Zach Wilson, and then followed by Amon-Ra St. Brown with 7, then Davis Mills with the 7, and then I drop off to 4 to Finero's Jarrett Patterson.
I am not alone on my island. Swags is visiting.
I have a trade in my inbox right now that could give me an 8th share of Amon-Ra St. Brown if I accept it, and it would be sending away Adam Trautman and getting back Amon-Ra St. Brown. But I kind of feel like
tight end premium.
Yeah, 1.75.
Ooh,
no, pass. Yeah, even your team has better wide receivers than that.
I have better tight ends too. At it.
What's that?
I have better tight ends too. But I hear you. With that said, I'd almost rather do something else with Trautman, like attach him to a different player and upgrade.
There you go. I'm on board with that
and be fine with my 7 shares of Amon-Ra unless it gets a little cheaper.
Yeah.
So not with that trade, but kind of like I was saying earlier with the Traquan Smith there, do you think there's a jump coming for Trautman? And do you believe or anybody else believe it matters who the quarterback is for that to happen?
I mean, I'll go. I think that there could be a little jump going for Trautman. I mean, we're kind of sounding like we're assuming it's Jameis Winston now. He had OJ Howard off to a nice start in his career before it became so injury riddled. Sounds like Troutman's looking pretty good in camp. I would almost assume he gets one of the bigger spikes of the kind of meh guys around they have. While I mean, him and maybe Taysom Hill, like,
right.
So I could see Troutman having a pretty decent year, but is it going to be the kind of year that keeps going? You know, like, what happens in the future with this team? Like, is Michael Thomas going to always be there? And I don't know.
Yeah, I think it comes down to expectations. Like, when you say, is he going to have a good year? Like, what are those expectations? Because, like, last year it was non-existent, right? So, like, what is that second year going to look like? We know he's, like, the only tight end of relevance there. So we know he's going to get those opportunities. We have no idea.
Last year.
We have no idea how efficient he's going to be. The one thing he really has to do is it's not even yards and receptions. If he just gets the touchdowns, to be quite honest with you, he's going to automatically get a spike. Like, that's just the way tight ends work. Like, if he gets the touchdowns, which is certainly possible. And in that case, to answer your question, T-Drink, I would rather it be Winston.
All right. How about you, Dave? I got to ask a different question in a second, but I want Dave's answer.
I think, yeah, from a fantasy perspective, I'd want Winston, but I think I'm rooting for Taysom Hill just because I want everyone else to, who I no longer have any Alvin Kamara or I don't have any more Alvin Kamara now. Obviously, no, Drew Brees is gone, but that terrorized my heart seeing Taysom Hill come in there. So I want everyone else to feel that for why I'm totally out of the situation. So I just want everyone else to feel my pain.
So that's like, you're kind of like that the zero RB guy that wants all my running backs to get hurt so that they can prove they have a good team.
Well, you know, I don't want anyone to get injured, but no.
Kind of, but it wouldn't, I mean.
Those are the McKissick owners, right?
Yeah, of course, right?
Look at the face. Give me some McKissick.
I know, right? I'm just messing with you. But,
oh, I'm ready.
So you all right, to my question. You wanted to get out of Traquan Smith, right? And that's because the MT, but you're willing to wait on Troutman. Do you think MT being there doesn't mean, like, you just want that little spike, so you're willing to wait on that position? Is that, like, in that league because it's premium or because you believe more in what he can do over what Traquan Smith might be?
I mean, for me, I think that Troutman's in more of a position that we have more hope in, that we're still hoping he grooms into that position. They lost Jared Cook. And again, with Traquan, we saw what that looked like last year without Michael Thomas. And it wasn't really all that great. I think he had like a 400 or 500 yard season last year in year three. I just want to see a little bit more by now when he's been given those opportunities. And some of those were still with Drew Brees. So I don't know, man, unless we're getting like the Bucks of the old with Winston, where they're always losing and playing from behind and he's airing it out and people are making it sound like that makes for a good quarterback for an NFL team. I mean, yeah, I'm just not too into Traquan at this point. And Troutman, I just feel like you can still attach a little bit more hope and see what's going to happen. So, yeah, for me, it's harder to move Troutman right now than it is Traquan Smith. And I think it's just like that silly thing. I'll speak for myself, but you can get caught up in doing and just kind of hoping that tight end hits and you have like that bargain. I haven't gone out and paid anything for any Troutman. You know, these are all like third and fourth round picks for me last year. That's how I've gotten in rookie drafts. That's how I've gotten my Troutman, you know? So I don't know.
Fair. Dave,
you make me feel like that said I should move him just with what I have invested in him. I mean, I'd rather have him than most tight ends drafted in the second round of our rookie drafts this year.
Yeah, no, totally fair. No, I just wondering the difference there and why it's okay for one and not the other from the same team. It's not the wrong answer. Just maybe mindset for people listening too on maybe why they should acquire or move certain players, you know, from that same team, even in different situations, mm-hmm. but might have similar, you know, outcomes.
Yeah, I think I just saw people get excited about, I already forgot his name, see, Traquan Smith,
yeah,
because of the opportunity he's about to have. But it's like, wait, he had this opportunity last year, guys. Like, we got to get excited last year for this to happen. So you can only do that so many times before I'm just kind of out. And if I miss the boat on what, 600, 700 yard Traquan Smith, it's not going to hurt my team.
Fair. What you got, Dave?
People are a little bit too caught up in thinking that when you hear Saints, that's automatic fantasy points. I'm not quite there. I mean, Drew Brees has gone in. I think Drew Brees was a shell of himself last season with the injuries. But going back to Trotman and the buzz that it is going around him, I understand. I liked him as a prospect, third round, barely stuck in the third round, but good athleticism, was dominant at Dayton. But the thing about him, he did nothing last year. He almost had the same production as the backup quarterback did last year. So as far as a receiving standpoint, so that's the only, I understand why people like Trotman. I just don't think he did anything last season to get people more excited this year than last year. That's what I'll say.
All right. I think I've derailed us long enough with some Saints talk there. And I need another Rookie Fever favorite moment clip. So this soundbite is from the 2020 NFL season, Rookie Fever episode 119, titled The Top 12 Rookies from Week 1 with Spaceman himself. Out of this world knowledge is dropped.
Dave, did I miss anything you want to go over or push or like that while we were bringing you in, first of all?
No. Well, I actually would like to say something. Swags, we recorded together my first ever podcast, a guest podcast.
On the open bar.
On the open bar. I had a blast talking to you there. Since then, and a goal, I haven't said this to you guys ever before, but a goal of mine has become a friend of the show. So I feel like I'm on my way. We've had some good banter, like off air, and I'm going to work hard, guys. I want to become a friend of the show. It's going to take 2 or 3 years, but it's going to happen.
Oh, it doesn't take that long.
Flatter us like that, and you'll be there in no time.
Yeah, we're more than halfway there. I mean, you just got as my son would say, you just got some major cool points.
That's kind of where it all began. It was his first guest appearance on Rookie Fever, and he had one more guest appearance after that, shortly after that, 2 weeks, and then before you know it, he's on Rookie Fever full time. Glad to have him. But that was where it all started. Flattery.
Oh, and just all my picks get roasted. Like all the players I did, they just were terrible. Thankfully you guys cut out who I chose to do well for my rookie picks for the top 12. And then I just kept on getting saddled for all of the guests' mistakes after that for the rest of the year. So that was a lot of fun, guys.
Oh, that's right.
The rookie fever experience has been truly amazing. When you guys
really
asked
glorified
me, come on,
all those negative moments. I really hope your wife goes into labor soon.
No, but you guys really, honestly, being asked to come on week one was awesome. And then to become, it feels like an official friend of the show and be part of the show and look forward to this every week. And you guys give me so much as far as looking at different perspectives on rookies that I do. I tend to get a little bit too tunnel vision of who I listen to and what I consume for content. So it's always, I really have enjoyed your guys' thought process and how you look at the rookies. So it kind of has helped me become a better fantasy player and analyst. So it's been a lot of fun being a Rookie Fever.
That's been a lot of fun having you, dude. I think Two Drink nailed it. Like there was no thought at all that Swags and I needed a third person. We weren't looking for one. We didn't think we needed one, but you bring something to the show that we didn't even think we needed. So we're just really, really glad. I think you use a what's that movie? The line about the tripod. Use that in chats.
The girl next door.
The girl next door. Yeah, can't mess with the tripod. Yeah, this has been a good team. Uh oh, Two Drink. What was that face? Can't mess with the tripod. Oh, I know where you went. Yeah.
Moving on. All right. Next segment we're going to get to is called 4 on 4. 4 years of rookies, things we have learned from all four of us. Means I have to participate a little bit in this one. But
yeah, just a little bit.
I don't hear much in the background, but I'm still making you go first, Dave. You don't get out of it.
Goodness. I almost wanted to use that once. Finera was saying some nice things. I almost wanted to cut out and as an excuse because I was turning red here. Some nice words about being on the show. But no, I actually struggled a lot thinking about this one because I wanted to try to piece something together that was coherent. And for me, I guess something that I've learned from being on Rookie Fever and as a listener of Rookie Fever, too, what I've learned is kind of just understanding what a successful rookie year looks like and what it means to be young and successful as a rookie and what that does to their production going forward in future years. And what does that mean? It means like looking at what Brandon Ayuk, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, T. Higgins, even my favorite wide receiver in the world, Chase Claypool, did last season. Five of the best 20 rookie seasons we've had in the last 11 years. And then, so what players who perform like that, they hit and go on to incredibly successful careers. I've spent a lot of time looking at that as my researching for the show. So that's kind of what I've learned. And then just the criticisms that we hear about, oh, George Kittle and Debo weren't around when Ayuk went off. Kirk Cousins in the low volume Minnesota offense. Jamar Chase and Tyler Boyd are there. Ooh. And then the TD dependency, the target competition in Pittsburgh, and then Amari and Michael Gallup. You know, I think people are failing to look at the bigger picture and just what it means to be that successful at a young age with that draft capital. And then that's not even mentioning how great of a season rookie year Laviska Shenault and Jerry Jeudy had. They actually had pretty freaking good rookie seasons in the scope of things. They just were overshadowed by some of the best rookie seasons we've seen in the last 11 years. So that's kind of what I've learned just about rookies and spending a lot, just what it looks like. People might, what it, like how awesome 2020 was and just what that means going forward.
Whoa.
Nice. Very like, nice. Well, mine was...
I did not think hard enough about mine. That was awesome.
Mine, especially over the last 4 years, and I'll bring up examples after I mention mine. Mine's talent over everything. Talent over landing spots. Talent over opportunity. Talent over need. Talent over situation, period. Today, things in the NFL change faster than they ever have. Situations change in a single season. An injury can change everything. Jonathan Taylor, Marlon Mack. A trade can change everything. James Robinson, Fournette, Nick Chubb, Carlos Hyde, all within their first year. Bad teams get high draft capital. Very good running backs don't typically go until the late first or even the second round, giving almost every team in the league two opportunities to replace their starting running back. QB leashes are shorter than ever. Exit Josh Rosen, enter Kyler Murray. Last year, CEH was overvalued for being on one of the best, if not the best, offenses in the league. Conversely, Swift is and was undervalued for being on Detroit. The year before, A.J. Brown was drafted by Tennessee, a bad offense, a low pass volume, and a bad QB. All of that changed in one season. The list goes on and on and on as we continue to draft, trade, and acquire players with better situations, less crowded backfields, and shallow wide receiver depths, all the while missing out on players that are just better at football. Talent over everything, all day, every day.
Holy hell. Good shit, dude.
Bring in the fever.
That's good shit.
slightly prepared for that one.
Two Drink, are you going now?
No, buddy, you got it. Nice. I'm still right in mine.
Mine's kind of a cross of both of theirs, honestly. And like, I'm going to take mine a little bit at first, the direction Dave was speaking of, but kind of like when we do the top 12, we do our weekly top 12 when we get into the season. We'll see how we do that this year. But anyway, I've learned a lot from watching that and just kind of what we should actually expect, because when we do the top 12, sometimes it sounds prestigious, and for our show, it's really fun to get the guys squeezed into the top 12. But sometimes, I mean, you'll be talking about the guys between like 7 and 12, and we're talking about like wide receiver 48, wide receiver 60, RBs in that same area. It's not as flashy as it sounds. To get to the top of that list and to maintain that on a weekly basis is actually pretty tough. And then when you see them maintaining like RB1 status or the wide receivers, for example, I think like I've learned we're often too hard on them when we want our wide receiver ones, and how happy you should be that you have like a wide receiver two in their rookie season is very exceptional. And then kind of going into what Finero said, that other aspect of it, of like the talent part and watching for that, is just kind of how you can sometimes just kind of manipulate that market, and you can get like DK Metcalf late in a draft because of how people feel. You know, I remember getting him like 10 in rookie drafts, and same with Swift, Herbert, this year Mac Jones and Zach Wilson. There's always those guys that if you're willing to just kind of like fight through everything and see the talent and be patient, the deals in your rookie draft the last couple of years have just been fruitful. I mean, you even look back to the year one and Two Drink, we were doing Fantasy Football Breakdown at this time. I remember talking about Juju Smith-Schuster a ton with you, but the value that you got on Juju back in the day, and that was an awesome draft class, but all of a sudden it was Juju, and I still like Juju, and now he's kind of a value. And then the long-term play I learned, because like, and I really wanted to say this, and I thought of it when I was looking at my rostered players, and when I already mentioned on the show, is DJ Moore. And at first I was kind of like, how the hell do I only have one share of DJ Moore? And then it kind of like, not to toot my own horn, but I mean, it's kind of because I practice what I preach and because we've learned and we know that we can get these running backs and they can help us prosper. And then I can get to year like four of DJ Moore and I can get a very, very good value on him and continue my build that way with somebody I already feel good about. So I don't have to miss on N'Keal Harry in my rookie drafts or, you know what I mean? So it just kind of all came full circle. And it's just kind of funny because I even remember with both of you, Dave, you just weren't here yet, but kind of going back and forth with DJ Moore and Calvin Ridley. And you look at it today and it's Calvin Ridley. And I would say part of us got that right, first of all. But then second of all, like, I think the market has overcorrected itself on DJ Moore. And now I want some DJ freaking Moore. Like, I'm happy to go give you Calvin Ridley if you want to give me DJ Moore and plus, you know what I mean? Like, at this point. So just really interesting how it all plays out.
I like that a lot. I'll be honest, it's going to make mine easy. It's going to sound a bit of a homer pick, but what I've learned is that it doesn't matter how much research you do, right? It doesn't know how much you look at and that kind of stuff. If you're not listening to other people that have the same amount of passion or more than you, you can't get better. So this Rookie Fever podcast, you can hear the passion in all those guys' voice, you know, when they tell you what they've learned, and they're doing that to help you out too. So you need to make sure you're listening to this show, not just during the season, not just during your rookie draft coming up and you want to get prepared. You listen all year long. Like, you get awesome information and it's entertaining. Like, I am a listener every single week. I mean, I'm honored to be on the show with you guys, but you guys crush it. So tune into this show, subscribe to the show, and 5-star review this bitch.
Yeah, dude, I super appreciate that. It's funny too, because I even mentioned, because you do learn from your mistakes as well. And I even mentioned that today.
You guys, like, own that too, right?
Like, telling, what's that?
I said, you guys own that too, right? Like, the mistakes and how you get better from that. Like, there are a lot of people out there in this, even this Twitter, you know, fantasy football community that you don't see that from. Y'all aren't afraid to admit your mistakes, and you try to show A, why that happened, and B, why you hope it won't happen again with the next player in that situation.
Yeah. Well, and even like when you hear me out there yelling at you to get rid of Austin Eckler, that's also coming from somebody that has a ton of Todd Gurley. And that has paid up for that over the years and felt confident enough to keep that way too long. And now, like, am stuck depreciating, just hoping he's even on a team for, I don't even know why. Okay. So it's also coming from a place where, like, I understand, like, and Todd Gurley, sorry, he's better than Austin Eckler. And it happens that freaking quick. So, you know, the out that you have on somebody like Austin Eckler, a 26-year-old running back that's never ran 600 yards in his 4-year career, that out doesn't come around that much. And you have one that it's just silly to fight that. It's fine if he produces this year. You have to be okay letting go and just let somebody else have the points. Who cares about it? I don't know. Build your team. Not, I don't know. I'm done.
Big difference in redraft and dynasty, but I love your passion for all the players you believe in.
I like it. Well said.
All right. I need another Rookie Fever favorite moment, especially this one, because I remember listening to this one and this shit made me laugh. So this soundbite is from 2018 NFL season. It's Rookie Fever episode 23, titled Philip Lindsay, Who's Your Daddy?
Man, Philip Lindsay keeps doing it.
Can't deny it. Yeah. Man, I mean, what can you say?
Somebody from his family followed me on Twitter today and I felt weird and guilty.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is. I'll show you.
So go Philip. Full 180. Rookie Fever is doing a 180 for Philip Lindsay. We'll have to come up with some little
Dupree Senior Lindsay. Yeah. And then there's like another, like, Coach Sherry Lindsay. I'm guessing that's like his mom or something. She didn't follow me though. But I mean, yeah, it's kind of.
Yeah, I don't think his mom's going to follow you. I'm pretty sure there was an episode where we repeatedly said, fuck Philip. Like, over and over again, to the point that we disliked him so much, we disliked every other Philip on earth, unless they listened to us.
There, I just sent you the picture.
Oh my God, you're totally being followed by a Lindsay.
Yeah, I tried to tell you.
I thought you were totally kidding.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
It wasn't me flipping. It was me really feeling guilty. Like, that's why I said you got a talented young man. I just hope he stays healthy. The best part is we really hated every Philip on the planet.
We were so far off of Philip Lindsay where there's people really giving us a hard time. Well, we just felt like he was
off of what everybody else.
Yeah, thought. we thought he was small and he wouldn't last. And he never really got hurt till the very end of that season, but hasn't seemed to really go back to that pretty historical rookie season, actually. But I still remember that one. That was hilarious. Like, I thought you were totally kidding around about being followed by a Lindsay, and then we just kind of went with it.
To see if they still follow me.
But not his mom.
Couldn't get his mom. I think that was just too far.
Same undrafted free agent class as our friend Gus Edwards.
Yes.
All right. I think it's my turn. This is my segment now. Not that I've tried to let you guys.
Sweating. I don't even know why I'm sweating. Jeez,
I'm nervous right now.
I've tried to let you guys have your show, right? I tried not to interfere too much.
Yep.
But segment four is mine. You named it AMA. So literally, I'm allowed to ask each one of y'all anything I want to. This pretty is gonna
much,
be fun.
Pretty much, yes.
Machine gun. I don't get the rapid nothing. All right, cool.
We might have
what do you want? What do you want?
Yeah, he wants the machine gun.
I mean, kind of. I'm not on the timer. Is that
laser?
That's the same one? That feels
good. It's laser. There it is. Rapid. Totally
Dave Wright, coming to you, baby man.
Ooh, starting it off. Here we go.
Why is yards per carry such an important stat?
All right,
I'm
guys.
Just kidding. Why do you hate it so much, bro?
Know the room. T-Drink always knows the room.
Just kidding. That's not the one I want to ask you. I just wanted to mess with you a little bit.
We right. have a winner.
Here's my real question to you. What is the half point PPR difference this year between Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins?
Ooh, half point PPR. Let's see. I have to off the top of my head. I think I'm saying
I'm holding you to it.
Eight wide receiver ranks. Eight. So eight. Yeah. So I think T. Higgins finishes like wide receiver eight. Ja'Marr Chase is like wide receiver 14 to 16.
I like that. Do Swags and Frenero, do you have Higgins in front of Chase for this year?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I would as well. Yeah.
And even in redraft, Chase is going like two rounds in front. Just saying. Yeah. We don't play a lot of redraft, but you can also take advantage of rookie fever and redraft the other way.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Finero, I want you to rank the Giants pass catchers in order.
Oh, God. That's disgusting. All right. Pass catchers in order.
This year. You can do full PPR if that makes it easier for you.
It's definitely Galladay as number one. And I think somebody that is getting virtually undrafted will be the pass catcher two, which will be Shepard. After Shepard, it gets really messy there. I'm going to probably go Ingram before I go with the rookie. I just feel like he's too raw right now. And I feel like that system is too vanilla. I think it's a bad match of talent. It doesn't mean he doesn't flash. It doesn't mean that he isn't good for the team. I've been saying that for a while, but, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go Galladay, Shepard, and then Ingram.
So I said pass catchers specifically.
Yeah. Barkley misses Saquon too many games. Yeah. I left Saquon out.
Where does he fit there?
Saquon would probably be before. Oh man, he could beat out Shepard. So he's going to be. Depends on how late that start would be. I think everyone's being kind of vanilla, but I think Saquon's pretty tough. He returned from that high ankle sprain 2 or 3 weeks before he was okay. 2 weeks before he was supposed to. I think this is getting a little overblown. So I'll go ahead and put him in front of Ingram. That's easy, but putting him in front of Shepard is trickier, just because Daniel Jones really hasn't shown what Eli did with the dump down passes. I haven't really seen that from Jones and Barkley, but Barkley hasn't been on the field long enough to really know if that's something that's going to happen. But I'm going to go ahead and still put Shepard above Barkley, but it'll be close between those two.
Worst case scenario, you're most confident in Barkley starting in week?
I think he starts week one.
All right. Swags.
So you just put Kadarius Toney in front of Darius Slayton, didn't you?
I did.
I heard that.
Yep.
Yeah, you did hear that.
I like it. I think that's not going to happen.
Yeah, there's a chance, but I mean, are you really confident about what you just said, though? Like, it's kind of. Yeah.
Okay. Can we go games played? How about games played?
Like between those two?
Target per game or
yeah, like points per game between Tony and Slayton.
I think they're going to get their first round pick involved this year. I don't think
I'd take Slayton.
I know you would.
I think
I would definitely take that bet.
Tony's
it's not my show, but
going to be returning the ball quite a bit. I think they're going to find different ways to use him.
Fair.
So yeah, I would go Galladay, Barkley, Ingram, Slayton.
That's not your question.
Shepherd.
I didn't push that one to you as well. We heard how you hate Canero Tony.
Can answer it's cool. Mine too.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not how I'm allowed. This isn't my part, buddy.
He very clear. Tuting very clearly said this was his part.
Yeah, you had your fun. My turn, sir. Swags. How many and which rookie running back from this year will have more fantasy half point PPR points this year than Austin Eckler?
How many
and which ones
from this year?
Yeah,
just so I'm clear.
And if there's multiple, then I need their names. Or I need their names anyways. But yeah,
more PPR points, more half, running half backs.
Point. I'm half point. I'm trying to be nice. Yep, and just some running backs
and just running backs.
Then Austin Eckler,
three.
Oh wow.
Okay, three. I'm gonna need those names. Najee
Harris,
done.
ETN, and then
you're gonna go Trey Sermon, right?
So four, and we'll say Williams and Sermon.
I love you, dude.
I almost wanted to leave Williams off if you want to know where my head was stuck. Williams was the guy that I was like, man, so four.
Wow.
Okay.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Right. I mean, I knew I would get an answer I would enjoy, and you delivered, so we'll take it. Dave, coming back to you, buddy. Shoot, an easy one.
Jeffrey Wilson has more points per touch than Austin Eckler.
Yeah, Jeffrey Wilson plays less games than Austin Eckler does, too. We're getting like two more games out of Wilson this year. He'll have great games because that's what the Niners do, but I'm not fighting you on Eckler. We'll create another rant for episode 300.
Nice.
Dave.
Jeffrey Wilson touched the ball 139 times, and Austin Eckler touched it 179 times.
Okay, I was wrong. You're
it's
right.
Only 31 Eckler more sucks. Times.
No, I hear you.
It's tough to find a player who's played less than.
Can I talk to Dave now?
Swift touched the ball 10 less times than Austin Eckler too.
Swift touched it less.
Yeah.
Nice.
And he had more points.
Dave.
So Dave.
Dave, easy question. How much money did the SFP Potathon raise this year? Because you are a very instrumental part in that, sir.
I think thanks for bringing that up. I think we did 30.
Hell yeah.
38.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. I think we finished around 38K. If I remember, the final total was $38,000 going towards Toys for Tots, Fantasy Cares, and also the Trevor Project for, which is the project that the defensive player who I'm already forgetting, but yeah, that's the Trevor Project, a very important charity for people who LGBTQ coming out and their support. So yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Now a not so easy one. How many vacay targets did AJ Green leave behind, and why Jamar Chase won't get them all?
Vacated. Well, zero. There's no such thing as a vacated target. So he left zero vacated targets behind.
So Burrow's going to throw it 100 and what, 30 times less next year?
No. So those targets are just earned out. They just come out. It's like there's just come out of the talent that surrounds him. So it's just AJ Green goes somewhere else. There's less target competition, I'll say, but the vacated targets aren't there. But no, yeah, AJ Green actually surprisingly
what
had.
What you're saying, if there's no talent on the field, that the quarterback's not going to throw the ball?
Right.
Nobody's earned it.
Right.
Sorry, guys. You didn't earn it.
So
Joe Mixon a bunch.
People, you know, AJ Green was terrible, but he had 106 targets last year. So yeah. Let's just say, like, you know, he's not dead yet, folks. AJ Green. He was a guy that I was viciously, viciously wrong on last year. The one thing that I am worried about this season for my T. Higgins love is that Joe Burrow struggled throwing the deep ball in his rookie season. So I am a little worried that if Joe Burrow cannot throw the deep ball very well this year, that T. Higgins cannot hit the ceiling that I'm hoping.
Not that their O-line is vastly improved, but is that Burrow's fault not being able to hit the deep ball, or is that not having time to throw it? Because I don't know that he had issues with the deep ball in college. I know college pro is very different, but is the O-line maybe weighted there?
That is definitely part of it. Yeah. His the O-line will factor into, like, if you don't have enough time to throw, you're not going to be able to put enough zip and accuracy onto your deep throws.
SBF Podathon. This is their fourth year, raised $38,470 to date.
That's awesome. Nice. Finero, coming back to you, buddy.
Go for it.
I believe it was an early episode of Rookie Fever where me, you, and Swags did a rookie mock. And this was where I think during the time where Darrell Henderson was even taking like 101 in some rookie drafts, and none of us really liked him. And me and you continued to not take Darrell Henderson because we knew how much Swags hated him and made Swags take him at the 212, the last on that show. That's not a question. That was fun.
No, I'm glad for that. I was trying to figure out where he was going.
So this year, Darrell Henderson, since Akers is gone, finishes as RB what in full PPR?
I think he's got a shot to finish as an RB2.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and put him down that list, though, because there's a lot of, I think what people are realizing is there's a lot of young, good running backs, especially in the last couple of classes to come out. Plus, we're going to probably Harris is going to get added to that mix. I'm going to go ahead and go 22, RB 22.
How much higher does that number have to get for you to worry about Akers next year?
That's a great question. I think if he can finish close to an RB1 status, I'm definitely worried. So I'll go ahead and go as far as like if he finishes 14, like right outside, okay. That would worry me. That would mean he had a very good season as a lead running back. I mean, he probably has 250 plus carries. There wasn't a committee. He actually succeeded. And this coach speak of him being a three down back must have been true.
And that's, you know, assuming Akers comes back and is healthy, there's no setbacks there. That's just because of Henderson's play.
Right.
Yep. Good stuff. I like it. Mr. Swags, originally I wrote, I want you to give me 1 minute, but I'm going to let you roll for just a second. You take as long as you need to do, because I want you to explain to people that maybe haven't heard it a little bit about the variance of value, but I want to do it in relation to like rookie picks only and see if I can't mess with your head just a little bit. Because when you get going on this topic sometimes, man, so we get gems.
Yeah, it's pretty tough, man. I mean,
you want the easy question first?
It's tough, man. I think it's easier to use last year's class and a couple examples in that. Because I think that some of the positions in this year's class were a little bit more top heavy, like Jamar Chase, Kyle Pitts, even Harris. I'll take Harris at this point, well above ETN. But like last year, I remember talking and having conversations with maybe everybody here in kind of the aspect that, why get Joe Burrow when you can move back a few spots and get the same thing in Justin Herbert? And that's kind of taking advantage of that variance that's put there by the it's got such a negative connotation, but it's really not. It's just a natural result of being a human and the herd mentality and seeing somebody enjoy something and then getting attached to it for the wrong reasons. And then a lot of times, like what I do in that moment is I just kind of look at it differently. I think of things differently and I'm more apt to go and tear that apart. I want to dissect it and see why everybody's thinking this rather than just hop in line because it looks busy. So everybody must be right. But most of the time within that line, one or two people have a point that they're fighting and the rest of them are just kind of getting in line because they're just like, man, everybody's kind of doing it. And so it's kind of just like manipulating that thought process and kind of trying to get ahead of it and not worrying about where we are today. I think I've said before, like there's no time like the now in every aspect of your life, except for dynasty football. It's all about the past and the future. Nothing matters today. It's where can I be in 6 months from now? Because, and that's kind of the moves I try to make is to get ahead of that so I don't have to worry about it when it happens. I mean, I guarantee you, I'm just using Austin Eckler because it's just easy for me. I'm using the easy button, so it's weak, but you could probably get two firsts for Austin Eckler today. You won't get one next year. I'll stand by that all season, and that's what's going to happen. And everybody's all of a sudden going to be like, sell Austin Eckler. And it's like, no, it's too late. It's too damn late. And that's just one variance that's kind of happening right now, but just kind of trying to stay ahead of some of those and believing in yourself. And that's the hardest part, is going out there. And man, I complain about it to all of you guys, which is I shouldn't do, but it's kind of just going out there and continually getting kicked. And then when you're down, getting kicked more and more and more, and continually being able to stand by that and be willing to get beat up when people don't believe in you or your thought or the moves that you're making, and just to continue to build your teams that way, and to understand that adhering to value is just a cop out. It just sticks a value to a certain point. I don't feel like I answered this really good. I don't know if I was ready for variance of value, but really it's just all about like believing in yourself, not being afraid to put it out there, and understanding that like you can change value. It's no different than any aspect of your life. Like things don't change unless we do things to make them change. Like if you want better things in your community, you have to be a part of that. You can't just sit back and hope that they're going to happen, or be like, well, we're doing it this way. It kind of sucks, but it's what's happening around here, you know. But you can make those changes in your life, in the community that we build, whether it's a Patreon that you have. You get to build that community. You get to build your experience on Twitter. I'm starting to get better at that and trying to enjoy some of those aspects again. But you create those changes. You don't have to adhere to any behavior you don't agree with.
I don't believe you answered that at all, like I asked it, and you still answered it the best way. So if I've learned nothing in my time listening to you, talking with you, doing shows with you, is that you will take the answer wherever you want it to, and I'm still going to get really good information from it. So I don't even care what I asked anymore. I love the answer. We're moving on.
Nice. Something about variance of value.
That doesn't sound like me.
Yeah, Dave, that was in there.
Dave, what's the best thing about dating a homeless woman?
What?
Oh, you heard me. Yeah, you a thought we were just going to stay woman? One level. What's the best thing about dating a homeless woman?
I wouldn't know. I would
you
not
can
know.
Drop her off anywhere, dude.
Trying to think.
Finero.
Yes.
What's the difference between a joke and three dicks?
I don't know. This is a hard one.
Your mom can take a joke. Swags, what did Cinderella say when she got to the ball?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
Let's go faster. Spaceman, back to you, buddy.
Okay. Woo.
You know what? This out one's for Spaceman zone. And Finero. Spaceman and Finero here.
All right.
Double team. Which rookie wide receiver last name Moore scores more points this year in full PPR?
Elijah Moore.
Rondale.
Okay. So, Spaceman, you get to say why it will be Elijah. And Finero, you get to say why it will be Rondale.
Oh, very nice.
Because that's exactly how I wrote down you would fuckers would say it.
Because you listen.
Do you want a first stab, Finero, or what?
Yeah, I'll take it. So we talked about Christian Kirk earlier. I think he's not long for the Arizona Cardinals. We have a high draft pick with Rondale Moore. I think he fits that offense perfectly. We have vacated targets. I like the scenario for Rondale Moore. We talked about it just 2 weeks ago where I kind of looked at him as like a next year guy. And this kind of goes into my lesson learned, which is talent before opportunity. CeeDee Lamb, same deal. CeeDee Lamb enters, and we're like, oh my gosh, we got Cooper. There's a lot of things going on there. I think we feel the same thing in Arizona, but Arizona passes the hell out of the ball. I actually really like Rondale Moore for this year production. And obviously, he's on the better offense out of those two. He might be the better bet, but since I have to make a case, I feel like that case is an easy one. Rondale Moore and a better offense.
Well, the case for Elijah Moore is that somehow, some way, he beats out the three wide receivers that are starting ahead of him. No, I'm just kidding.
No. It's going to be like that, huh?
No, I'm kidding. No, the truth of the matter is that Elijah Moore, he can, as a prospect, his age-adjusted production is out of this world. He has the draft capital. He comes from the SEC, and he performed way above the wide receivers that come out of the SEC in college, and he performed way above successful NFL wide receivers at the college level, you know, historically. So he is, as a, from an age adjusted college production, he checks all the boxes. And then not only does he have the moves and the athleticism to beat zone coverage, he also has the multiple variety of moves off the line to beat man coverage and press man. And he can do it all over the field. He can do it out of the slot. He can do it out wide. And he's already shown that in training camp. And then Zach Wilson, who people like to hate on, is still going to be throwing the ball all over the field. They've shown by investing in the wide receiver position the last couple seasons, mostly this season, that they want to throw the ball. Elijah Moore is built to succeed, and he's doing it because he succeeded at the highest level in college. Why not? And he was almost as good. I think he might have had a better college career than A.J. Brown did. So let's just go there and say, yeah, Elijah Moore, big fan. I think he dominates this year.
I like Dave's argument better than mine. Does that make me right?
I feel like it's a tie. I thought I might stump you both, but you both obviously do your homework. It's a good show. This is my last question of the night.
Nice.
It goes to Mr. Swags. What would you have to get on top of CEH to trade away Swift?
The world.
Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, you know, I mean, I need Dobbins and CEH. I need a lot. It's not happening. You're giving me extra work because now I have to move Clyde Edwards-Helaire because his price has kind of gone back up a little bit. So, I mean,
do you like, honestly, Swift? I know it's in both, but do you think there's a bigger edge in standard, half point, or full point PPR between Swift and CEH?
I think that there is going to be a bigger edge in 2021 forever. Okay, I don't think it matters, but I think, yeah, PPR. I think that they're going to have to target the hell out of Swift this year.
Fair.
And I think that they will. And
Amon-Ra St. Brown can't catch him
forward.
All.
Yeah, exactly. And after that, moving forward, I still think that we're going to see Swift as the lead back who has proven himself after this year. Like he's the next guy up. He's the next big running back. He's the next Kamara, the next Dalvin, he's the next guy up. He's going to be ahead of everybody next year in rankings as far as like those old guys we were mentioning. He's going to be up there with Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor, Dobbins, and Swift are all going to be top five running backs consensus next year in Dynasty.
All right, I said last question, but I lied. Swags, I will ask you this again, but you get the answer last. Spaceman CEH finishes how many spots behind Swift this year in full PPR? The answer could be negative if you don't believe it.
Oh man, not that many. I think they're going to finish in the same tier. I think they're both top 12 running backs this season.
Finero,
three spots.
Swags.
I say probably like 10 to 12.
Okay.
Respectively for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think that's going to be closer to that, honestly. Just like what you saw with what they did with their opportunities last year, based on what we feel like Swift's uptake will be. I think that it's going to be bigger than people want. I could see Swift being like RB5 to RB7 and CEH being RB17-ish. Okay. So 10 spots.
Yeah. No, again, that's why I ask you those questions and make sense why you believe the things you believe, right? It's not, you know, three spots difference to me and I can get some cheddar on top. I probably make that deal and get some more. If I believe it's that big and it continues to be that big or bigger each year, then I'm never making that trade. You know what I mean? Or like you did in your pin tweet that's still there, you draft CEH first and then fix it down the road straight up. You don't have to give anything extra. And that was when he was worth a lot more than the first one. So. Yeah.
The tough one for me is if you would have asked like how much to add on to Dobbins or somebody like that I like, because then I still like Swift a little bit more, but I kind of think they both have similar upsides. So I'm really into both those running backs this year.
I made it too easy is what you're saying. Noted.
Yeah. I mean, it was hard because
I gotcha.
I get that people think I'm crazy. And I was joking when I said like Jonathan Taylor, like, but I mean, honestly, right, for me to move, like I'd have to be in a weird situation and somebody else would have to have my phone. You would know that. I don't know what would have to happen to be honestly attached to Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I mean, I know from past how much you like Swift, like even coming out of college before he was a Lion.
Mm-hmm.
but the Lions part like makes it count just a little bit more.
That's more fun, yeah. And then just believing in him, yeah, yep,
yeah. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, right, right again, I would have get the players you want, get your guys, especially the ones you enjoy having on your team. It makes fantasy way more fun.
Like listening to this show, Kerryon Johnson before Swift even showed up.
Right. No, very true. All right, fellas. I'm going to go first here and make it easy on me. But again, I just want to say thank you very much. This is, you know, always a listen in my books. And I try to do it, you know, right when it releases or on my way home that same day. So I can immediately text you guys. Dave, I'm getting your number after this because you're going to get those texts too, buddy. And call you on your shit I don't agree with in the show or, you know. I guess give you like that a boys because I love that part or whatever. So again, keep bringing the passion that you guys have. And I'm so looking forward to what the next 200 episodes brings. And hopefully I can host episode 400.
Well, Swags, 300. Swags and I were thinking, okay, we got to do something special for 200. And we weren't sure the format. We weren't sure exactly what we were going to do. But the first thing that came to mind is, what if Two Drink hosted it? And we both love that idea right away. And I'm talking about right away, dude. Like that was before there was a show idea, before there was a show sheet. You were the first one we thought of. And I really appreciate you doing this for us. I really, really do.
A lot of fun, brother. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Man, I appreciate everybody here, man. Finero, what we've built here from the ground up, what we were left with. I think we've turned it into something a lot better than those first 10 episodes were, to be completely honest with you. I mean, no shade. I think we put a lot of polish on this. And then Dave, having you come in when you did, I mean, Finero was looking at it the other day. It's kind of surprising actually how many episodes you've been a part of. I'm not even going to say it was high up there. Finero knows, but I don't know. Yeah. I look forward to this every week. I've enjoyed the hell out of this, all the work we did, like Dave said, through the player profiles and, Two Drink, you're not, I don't even think of you as a friend, your family. Like to have you here with us tonight, like really means a lot. Like Finero said, we talked about it at a little bit when we joked about going live. And then we talked about to Spaceman at the end of the show. And then as soon as we were done recording last week, we hit you up and was really, I didn't know if you'd do it. So I was really excited when you said you would, and just to have you here and everything that we've been through together, from building what we built and family freaking life, you know, and just kind of always being there for each other and having all you guys around. Like, I can't tell you how much it means to me. And I don't know, I'll say it. I never take any of you guys for granted. I feel like sometimes I'm really bad at not like letting that come out. But this group here, man, I don't know. Love y'all. Appreciate you very, very much.
Ditto, brother.
Ditto.
Well said, gentlemen. I'll just close for saying that, like, I really appreciate being part of Rookie Fever. I really enjoy the atmosphere we have here, the content we put out. But it was, like I said earlier, too, in the episode, that, you know, it meant a lot to be even asked to guest on Rookie Fever, but then to come back and then eventually become part of the show has been an incredible honor. I've really enjoyed that we can all disagree with each other, but we still respect each other's opinions. We can like be flat out why we disagree. And then we come back 2 minutes later and we have a whole nother conversation. It's like the board is the wipe clean. And that's how it is. I really value that, how to have, and just how I enjoy how you guys think critically. And then also too, it's been awesome freaking hanging out with Two Drink tonight. Two Drink, feel free. I'm going to be streaming in to the delivery live. I'll throw you my digits. You can come in.
Got it.
And you can be part of the live stream. Ask any fancy football questions you want, man.
Sounds good.
This is a good time to probably thank the listeners that have been with us this whole time. And we have a little present for you this evening to thank you. And that is a custom created closing. So we're going to go out. We might do this for the rest of the year. We're still discussing it. A custom song created by my good buddy Mike here in Philly. If you like the song, give him a shout out at MJ Gav, G-A-V, man. MJ Gavman created this song. It's inspired by the 19. 19-
he won the Cam Akers helmet.
He did in the other league. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He was inspired by the 1958 Peggy Lee's song Fever. And I think you might not recognize it from Peggy Lee because it was way back in 1958, but you'll probably kind of hear the inspiration. It was inspired, modernized, and specialized just for Rookie Fever. And Swags, if you want to play the close, we'll give our listeners hopefully a little treat.
I think he wishes it was a Henderson helmet now.
he might, right? Like, I did want to add in
That was good.
Dave said something about us respecting his takes, and he'll soon learn once he gives Toondrink his phone number that's not true.
Nice.
I am at Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever. That is at FF_Spaceman, who disappointed me with no baby tonight. As always, on point.
I delivered it while TV live. Delivered live.
And hosted this evening by the amazing at FL to Drink Minimum.
Cheers, boys.
Woo!
Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. And when you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now.
Who got the 101 scouting? It's never done this stupid throw and run. I told you anyone. Size and speed just unreal. Landing spot not ideal. Wait, when's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.
What is up to drink?